This is the Indigenate Podcast, a collection of conversations about Indigenous women's health and well-being. This episode was guided by a community advisory board of Indigenous elders, mothers, and daughters. I'm your host, Sophie Neuner, member of the Karuk tribe.
Hey, I'm your host, Sarah Stern, citizen of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma.
And I'm your host, Olivia Trujillo, a member of the Dene Nation.
On today's episode, we continue our conversation with Suksavan Kiavorabuth, who is a Dene and Laotian PhD student in Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies at Oregon State University. We dive deeper into our discussion of two-spirit autonomy and sex and pleasure outside heteronorms. Suksavan shares how experiencing pleasure can be an expression of sovereignty, an anti-colonial act. Hey, and welcome back, Suksavan. Sarah, do you want to kick us off?
So when we think about the survivance and now thrivance of two-spirit identity, you cannot leave sex and pleasure out of that conversation, because at least how it's been explained to me in my tribe, we've always had two-spirit people. We've always had queer people. So these concepts and lived experiences have never gone away, even though we have seen an onslaught of violence towards two-spirit individuals. Do you have any thoughts on how two-spirit individuals think about sex and pleasure, and if that's different than people that are not two-spirit, or even like Western European ideologies?
Yeah, yes, that is really important, because I think sexual wellness differs from Indigenous two-spirit ideas versus Western epistemology, because one, Western is hetero. It's cis-hetero, actually. And so a lot of what we learn is about the biological reproduction of man in specific ways, and not the pleasure part. And I think people are afraid of the pleasure part, because that's where, as you kind of mentioned, Sarah, like, it goes hand in hand with thrivance, right? The pleasure I experience allows me to thrive in a lot of ways, in specific ways. And so kind of going more into that, I think sex education and all of that within Western institutions, which most schools in the US are, and so it's Western ideas of sex education. And so it doesn't include queerness. It doesn't include two-spiritness. It doesn't include LGBTQ, right? As I mentioned before, children, youth know who they are better than their parents, better than us in the space, right? And so who am I? And I think that's the beautiful part about two-spirit, like sexual wellness, is that who am I to limit someone's sexual pleasure, someone's sexual wellness in that way, right? And I think as like someone who is navigating the world, essentially, for me, the difference is not only the act of it, right? The act of sex, of queer sex, is going to be different than heterosex, right? I think there's much more to sexual wellness than the physical act of it, which how we get into pleasure, right? And how we imagine the erotics, and how we imagine ourselves as people, as sovereign people who have sovereignty over our bodies. Indigenous two-spirit ideas of sexual wellness is actually about the sovereignty of our bodies.
I love that. And as you were talking, I was thinking back about Indigenous ways of thinking being a lot about community, while often Western ways of thinking sort of center the individual. And I feel like for sex, it's similar. Like in Western cultures, we have this very heteronormative rhetoric around sex, like sex is for reproduction and reproduction only, and basically about individuals reproducing other individuals, right?
Whereas when you look at sex centering this idea of pleasure and, you know, mutual and consensual care and expression of relationship with one another, it ties into a lot more, right? It ties into how are we taking care of ourselves and how are we taking care of community? Mm-hmm. So I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on how honoring sexual autonomy and centering pleasure is really something that can benefit our communities and actually create community wellness.
Yeah. And I think queer people and two-spirit people can also reproduce. Like, that is another thing too that people don't know. And so going back to your question about like community and community well-being, one, I think it comes down to just actually having open conversations about sex, right? I think we're afraid of having sex or talking about sex because of the ways that Indigenous people have been perceived, right? Native women are fetishized. And I would argue Native men and Two-Spirit folks are also fetishized. Indigenous people are fetishized in general in a lot of ways, right? And so I think that has infiltrated us to imagine like we can't talk about it because we'll continue that stereotype that we're just sexual. Like, that's all we're good for. When it's like being sexual is a good thing, you know, if that's what you choose, and it's consensual. And so sexual health ties into community health in a lot of complex ways. I do imagine that us being have full autonomy and full sovereignty over our bodies allows us to actually have full autonomy and sovereignty as nations. And what I mean by that is like my sexual acts are ways of healing. And I know that it could be also used as ways of like hiding specific things, but the ways that I'm using this in terms of two-spirit ideologies is as liberation of bodies, right? Because I think Indigenous bodies are fetishized and at the same time not desired or seen as not desirable. And so, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, and I'll speak from my own experience, I don't feel as though I am desirable in those ways, right? For sexual pleasure, for sexual acts, because of the ways that Indigenous people have been told. And so going back into Indigenous two-spirit ideas of sexual wellness, it allows me to feel like I am desirable. It allows me to have full sovereignty of my body in the ways that I want to experience pleasure. And that allows me to have sovereignty of my pleasure too, right? Of the ways in which I receive pleasure or give pleasure. And ultimately, it allows us to have open conversations to allow us to get to that community health. If someone is liberated, if someone is thriving, we all thrive in that way.
You know, we've said this prior, but this framework that Indigenous used is coming from an advisory board. And so I do want to name one of the quotes that they shared with us in thinking about sex. And basically the quote is that queer sex is unscripted. You've talked a little bit about gender roles versus social roles. And I'm just wondering if that is something that you also consider how we exist with our sovereign bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I will agree, queer sex is unscripted in a lot of beautiful ways. Because as I mentioned before, like how we understand and taught about hetero sex, essentially, and is that there's only one way of doing it, right? Basically, queer sex is unscripted is saying that there's more than one way of finding pleasure, finding the ability to have a relationship with the person or persons that you're with, right? That it is intimate, which doesn't always have to be intimate, and also the ways in which you're having conversations with each other in that moment to find out how you like to be pleased and how they like to be pleased, and how that whole moment is in itself an act of sovereign erotics, right? A sovereign beauty. And to quote my advisor, Coley Driscoll, they use sovereign erotics as a way of understanding and getting back to that point, right? Of like this idea of having sovereignty over your own pleasure. Expanding onto queer sex is unscripted, I also would add on to that, queer sex is limitless. My queer sex is different than someone else's queer sex. But as long as we, or if you and your partner or partners have received pleasure in that way, in a consensual manner, then like it's liberation. That's where the pleasure exists outside of the binary, where inside the binary or the hetero, cis hetero Western ideologies of sex, the end goal in some cases is to reproduce, which is the limiting part. I feel like it is important, and I think people get shamed, right? People get slut shamed. People get shamed in a lot of ways because of how I like to receive pleasure or someone else likes to receive pleasure. But I actually think there's empowerment in receiving pleasure in sexual ways, right? If it's consensual and safe. And we can define safe however you define safe, right? I feel like we always put on these ideas of safe as this versus that, which also is limiting. And safe is a variety of different things. And as long as you're being safe, and as however that, what that means for you, and it is consensual between the two partners or partners, you can do a lot of great things, I think, like in terms of feeling empowered about your body. And I think we've been so shamed about our bodies for so long, especially Black and brown bodies who are sexual have been shamed for being sexual. What I think queer sex allows Black and brown and Indigenous bodies to feel ourselves again.
You listened to part two of our interview with Suksavan Kiavorabuth on the Indigene podcast. This podcast is a production by the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health. We'd like to thank our advisory board, who have shaped this project in every way. This podcast was recorded, directed, and produced by Sarah Stern, Olivia Trujillo, and Sophie Neuner. Special thanks goes to Samaya, whose song Nothing Can Kill My Love for You opens our show every week. You can find her on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Amazon, wherever you listen to your favorite tunes. Last but not least, a big shout out to you, our listeners. Thanks for tuning in. Yodwa kowora karo suwenik.
Wado, may our paths cross again.
Ahyehet, talk to you later.